We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the First in Football Podcast, your behind-the-scenes look at Princeton Tigers football. Here's your host, Cody Kruschel.
Two freshmen accounting for the scoring in the first half. Colonidi with a pair of touchdowns in the second half as Princeton pulled away from Columbia 24-7 in Saturday's Ivy League opener. The Tigers are 3-0 as we welcome you to the Week 4 edition of the First in Football Podcast, presented by Jag One Physical Therapy. Coach Bob Sorace, your team for the first time all season had to play a full four quarters. A bit precarious at times Saturday, but at the end of the day, it's an Ivy League win and your team is 3-0.
Yeah, it seems like that's how our Columbia games have gone. They have a terrific squad. I thought we played really well in the first half. It was a very ball control type game on both sides. We only had five series. We had a deflection on the first drive as we were moving the ball down the field that led to an interception. We scored twice. Series four, we have a really penalty that we can't make, after a play when we're crossing the 50 on a second and three. And then they made a great play on the fourth down and we didn't get points in the red zone. So, obviously we, wanted to make them one dimensional. We didn't, we had some opportunities. They came out and won the third quarter, really did a great job. And I love how we responded, the adjustments we made. I thought, coaches, players, everybody just did a tremendous job against a terrific team.
How important is it to get a game like that early in the season where your team does have to win a close game and win those battles?
I don't know. I'd like not to have so many gray hairs, but it's that's how our league's going to be. Everybody, and even Monmouth this week, has more seniors and has more upperclassmen. And with COVID and players coming back, this league is going to play to a lot of games that are going to be like this throughout. You saw it with Cornell Yale in week one. You see it throughout our league week in, week out. It's going to be like this as the teams are so even in talent.
The official physical therapy partner for Princeton Athletics, Jag One Physical Therapy, is proud to serve as your trusted in-network resource for physical and occupational therapy services. Visit them at jagonept.com to get back the life you love. Your defense, they've held opponents to 3 points, or they've held opponents to 7 points in three games. Number one in the nation in scoring defense, number one in total defense, number one in rushing defense. Opponents, 3 trips to the red zone in 3 games. It took 31 drives before an opponent reached the red zone against the defense. Tells you it's not just one or two players. It's sort of how this defense is built.
Yeah, and Columbia came in with such a terrific run game, and both their top two backs were at about 100 yards a game. And to play run defense, you have to be in your gaps, you have to have your assignments, and you got to play hard and you got to tackle. And we did a terrific job in all those areas. And I think our pass rush and coverage, some of the sacks were covered sacks, some of them were just amazing efforts by pass rushers. And we did a good job in that area. And we'll be tested really well this week. That's an incredible Monmouth skill group, but an offensive line, a big physical line. But I love how our guys are playing.
Want to spotlight a couple guys. Uche Nadukwe, who was sort of a role player his first couple of seasons. Saturday, 3 tackles, 2.5 sacks. Seems like he's in the backfield just about every play, winning a lot of those one-on-one matchups.
Yeah, Uche just keeps getting better and better, and we saw it as a young player. This is a junior-senior league, and with COVID, these teams are juniors and seniors mostly that are playing, and he's coming into his own. I thought, the guys in general played hard, but he's finishing so well and, came up with some really key plays for us.
Our player guest today is DeLon Stallworth. He had 7 tackles in the win Saturday. 2 years ago, he was your third leading tackler despite missing a couple of games at the end of the season. Really just a tremendous open field tackler. Kind of seems like he plays cornerback like a safety or a linebacker.
He's such a physical player, and most of the times defensive backs get recognized for their coverage, and he's been a terrific cover corner. Throughout, he played as a freshman and, for 5 years now. But he is just coming to his own as a physical presence in the run game. We saw it in 2019. We saw it in 2018. And he's really playing with a lot of confidence.
On offense, Colin Eady, 2 second-half touchdowns to seal the win. The second one, he breaks a tackle in the backfield, then goes 17 yards up the middle into the end zone to sort of seal that victory. You took it easy with him 2 weeks ago, 3 carries against Stetson, but Saturday, Colin Eady was there when you needed him.
Yeah, the score sometimes dictates who's in and everything else. And, Colin is a tremendous leader, worker, everything that's good about people. And if you're really good about it, you start talking about DeLon and Uche and Colin and the type of people they are and how hard they work. You're really proud of them when they get to have success visibly.
Cole Smith did as much with his legs as he did with his arm. Threw the ball 20 times, rushed the ball 20 times. Seemed like, was that the plan going in? Was that something that you saw from the Columbia defense where, yeah, you're going to keep it on the ground with Cole a little bit more with some of those designed runs?
Yeah, there was a few designed runs where he did have an option. A lot of the runs, even in the first 2 weeks, there's an option. He's reading a defender, and sometimes it's a read with a throw. Sometimes it's a read with a run. This week, and I think really Colin got off to such a good start, there was a lot more keys where he got to run it. And, I think all of our runners, but he and Colin in particular, the fight they had to get extra yards was very meaningful.
I feel like there's a lot of college football programs where you're recruiting for a system, and this is the system we play. You look at your quarterbacks, you've gone Chad Kanoff, to John Lovett, to Kevin Davidson, to Cole Smith, 4 very different guys under center with similar results. How do you go about, how much of it is, we need this guy to fit our system, but how much of it is we're going to adjust our offensive system to their strengths?
Yeah, I hope we're doing that at every position. If there's a cornerback that's not good in man but is a great zone cover corner, play more zone. If there's a linebacker that's great at blitzing, Mike Zuli, blitz him more. You really have to identify what guys do best and limit, maybe instead of just saying, oh, he doesn't do this, you can't play him. Let's look at what they do best and try to put them into situations where they get to play to the things that are you know, at their abilities, and then they're working and improving on the areas that maybe they're just not there yet. And you know, the beautiful thing of Cole is he's thrown the ball incredibly well. That's a very foggy game. You know, there's a lot of, when you're seeing so much man-to-man on the outside, you know, every play could be called DPI, every play could be ignored. And it's just going to be murky on that. And you're going to get some calls, you're going to not get some calls, and you just got to keep fighting. And the thing I loved was how well our guys kept fighting, you know, throughout the game. And you know, through some of that, it's just going to be, and that it's terrific scheme by them. I'm not blaming them at all or the officials, but it's every time we play them, there's in that that gray area of football that, you know, I think it's an NCAA thing. They didn't, you know, the NFL became much more aesthetically pleasing when they started calling illegal contact defensive holding. College isn't there yet. We got a ways to go. It's a really hard game to officiate, but I think our game becomes so much more aesthetically pleasing when we play to the letter of the rule on both on every side of the ball. And same thing with offensive holding. And there's a million calls on both sides. Guys learn to block better when they call it.
Kind of one of those things where, okay, stats don't tell the story. You look at DeLon Stallworth, and we were just singing his praises. One career interception for DeLon, I think. Carson Bobo somehow has never caught a touchdown. I think you can probably count five or six times he's had a big catch inside the opponent five or the opponent 10 to set up a touchdown. He did that again late in the game this past Saturday, set up Colonidi's first touchdown run.
Yeah, 2016, we go back there, and how many times did, like, Jesper or Isaiah Barnes
down
catch
to the
a ball
one.
Down at the one, and, you know, somebody else would get the touchdown. A lot of times it was John or it was a running back, John Lovett or a running back. You know, Carson's fighting his tail off to try to get those things in. But, you know, what a catch he made. And, you know, we all visibly see that. The best play of the day of Carson Bobo on Jadarius Carr. Anybody goes back and watches Jadarius's touchdown, which is freshman, awesome, first one he's ever had. Carson Bobo's block on that play might be the greatest block in my 12 years here that I've seen. It was just an incredible block. And that's what we're getting, you know, from a guy like Carson. He just does everything so well.
Let's focus on this weekend. You guys make the short trip across the state to Monmouth. That's a 1 o'clock kickoff. You can watch it on ESPN Plus. The Hawks 3-2, couple of blowout wins, pair of blowout losses, one of them against Middle Tennessee State, an FBS opponent. They won a tight game at Fordham. You guys beat them 51-9 in 2018. That was the only other meeting. This is a different program than they were in 2018. They've won back-to-back Big South titles. They took Sam Houston State, the eventual national champion this past spring. They lost to him by a score. This is going to be a really good challenge for your team as you wrap up non-Ivy play. And I know you talked about it earlier. They've got some skill position guys in that offensive line. That's a tough matchup.
Yeah, they're terrific. I watched that game, and you know, Sam Houston has a lot of coaches that are really good friends of our program and from this area, and obviously Monmouth is in our state, and you just root for these local teams that way. And Monmouth has the ball on the 9-yard line with about 38 seconds or so to go, and first and goal, and they didn't put it in, and Sam Houston goes on and wins the national title on there. But that's how close that game was. And they're all teams back. Every single one of those guys is back. You look at their offensive line, graduate student, graduate student, graduate student, fifth year, senior, senior, right? Other than their quarterback, who's a sophomore and who is exceptional. He trains with one of the best quarterback developers in the country that my son's over there with them at times, and he is, you watch him on film, the most beautiful deep ball, you know, really quick, you know, release, you know, just the way he plays as a young player, you'd think he'd been there for 4 or 5 years. You know, the running back fairy is just, oh man, is he good? Just physical, between the holes, has an explosive, vertical home run threat that way. Lonnie Moore's one of the best slots in the country. They have a really deep receiver group. That's a tremendous challenge for our, you know, for our team, for our defense that way. They're well coached. I said it after the game to some of the reporters that, you know, Kevin Callahan's one of the most underrated coaches in the country. He built this program where he, you know, there was no program. He had to get trash cans, desks, everything. And he's turned them into a national championship contender. And that's the, you know, I have such respect for what they do and the talent they're bringing in. And, you know, defensively, you know, two active interior D linemen that are just getting push every play. They come off the edges strong. Their linebacker crew is physical, speed on the back end. This is, I told our team, you know, during the week, we the Ivy League, we don't get to go to the playoffs, but we're playing a playoff team this week. That's what they are.
Princeton and West Long Branch, separated by about 40 miles. You guys didn't play for the first time until 2018. At what point did it kind of make sense for Princeton and Monmouth to start playing? And then, I guess, bigger picture, so Lehigh, Stetson, Monmouth this year, you guys only have 3 non-league games. At what point do you schedule? How far out do you schedule? What goes into building a non-conference schedule?
I got the job in 2018 was the only – that game – was the only game that I got to schedule my first 10 years. And Coach Callahan, Kevin, you know, he called. And Coach Cal called and said, hey, can we get us on the schedule? So we did that immediately. It just made so much sense. And the respect I have for them, you know, it's a quick bus ride for either school. It's not a plane or anything else. We like to get a region game, an out-of-region game, you know, where we're on a flight or an alumni trip every other year or so. We love to play, you know, schools that are competitive that are in this area, you know, in terms of that. And scheduling's hard because our league opens up 2 weeks late. And so some of these schools play their non-conference games, and now they're into league play. So it's a tricky thing, and we're doing the best we can. And I work with Anthony Archibald on that. He is just terrific. He does a fantastic job, and, you know, do our best to get these competitive games against, you know, especially when there's a team right down the road.
1 o'clock Saturday, Princeton at Monmouth, final non-Ivy game for the Princeton Tigers, who look to take it to 4-0. Coach, great catching up with you as always.
Always. Thanks, Cody.
Be right back on the First in Football podcast with senior cornerback DeLon Stallworth.
Iron Workers Local Union number 399 are the people who build and improve the amazing landmark facilities on the Princeton University campus. From new athletic venues to world-class dormitories, our qualified journeymen, iron workers, and apprentices proudly create great projects throughout central and southern New Jersey. Our highly trained members promote a positive and safe worksite environment and showcase an exceptional work ethic, just like your Princeton athletes. Go Tigers!
He's a senior defensive back from Cincinnati, a two-time All-Ivy League selection, and he's our guest today on the First in Football podcast, one of the leaders on Princeton's top-ranked defense nationally, DeLon Stallworth. DeLon, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
3-0 start to the season, you guys. You allowed a touchdown. You've allowed one touchdown, 7 points over 3 games. A couple of blowouts early this weekend. You guys had to battle, and the team leaned on you for a couple quarters.
Yeah, definitely don't think we should have gave up that touchdown. That's on us. But that was the first thing we were mad about coming off the field. Yeah, definitely had a battle this weekend. I think the team really enjoyed the battle. We needed that. We needed to get back into, you know, heavyweight battles and see what we're really made out of. So I think it was good for us.
Have talked to some of your other teammates over the course of the season. The starters didn't play a lot in the second half the first 2 weeks, but nobody was really invested more in pitching that shutout and maintaining that zero on the scoreboard than you and the other starters.
Yeah, I think we always try and push everyone to be the best they can. Like, no matter what, it's next man up. There's no drop-off. So we have a standard of if we're pitching a shutout, we expect to keep a shutout.
You guys essentially have 5 classes back because you're one of the seniors that took the gap here, and then you had kind of 2 whole groups of freshmen and sophomores, 2 whole classes that had never stepped on campus and gone through a football season. So 125, 130 guys on the roster. Did training camp feel a little different this year with more guys in the locker room?
I think it definitely did feel a little bit different, more on like just getting to know guys personally on that level. So we've been doing everything we can to kind of get to know guys that we like, because there's two classes of freshmen, so it's hard enough learning one
class.
It's
like literally half the team.
Right, exactly. So that part's a little bit different. But other than that, I think the work we've been putting in has all been the same as years prior.
You're one of seven seniors in the secondary. Got to imagine you've gotten pretty close with that group.
Yeah, I mean, we've been through a lot. We've been here forever. But
and you guys all played, a lot of you started as freshmen, so it's been 4 or 5 years. You've been here together, not just on the roster, but seeing significant time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that there's an additional like comfort that comes with that. Like having played with each other for so long, we know what to expect with each other. We know like how to communicate with each other, and I think that really helps a lot.
Let's go back to your recruiting process. At a St. Xavier High School in Cincinnati, what do you remember about the recruiting process, and what made Princeton the right fit?
I remember coming to East Coast just like on a tour of most of the Ivies. I really remember the atmosphere at Princeton having like a really big family focus, and it felt more at home than other schools, and I think that's why it was a perfect fit for me.
We were talking a little bit before we popped on air. Your father was a college football player at Ball State, so my guess would have been, yeah, you got started playing football at an early age because he was a college football player, and you were saying that's not the case.
Yeah, the only thing he let me do was flag football until freshman year of high school, and then snuck myself in and signed myself up. So after that, that's the end of the story. But yeah, he was not all for it until he saw me play my first game. So.
And he's the reason you wear 17, or is that just a coincidence?
That's actually just a coincidence. So my grandfather wore 17, and I didn't find that out until probably last year.
So let's kind of talk about you as a football player. So we mentioned it earlier, two-time All-Ivy League, first team 2 years ago, second team 3 years ago, calling games, watching games. What stands out to us is your open field tackling, because they generally don't throw a ton in your direction. Seems like you really take pride in, A, being in the backfield, and B, making those one-on-one stops.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of my most favorite things about playing the game. Even though this past weekend was not too pretty on my part, I think I definitely do love tackling, making hits, and getting some TFLs.
Is there a little bit of a linebacker mentality there at the corner?
A little bit, yeah. I like to say I'm a little linebacker, even though I'm not, but I still like to think that.
What's your best advice? You know, if you're talking to a young player, you know, coaches listening to this, trying to teach one-on-one tackling, like, what's a really good piece of advice for young football players?
Tracking the near hip. We preach that over and over again. I hear that so much from Coach Verbit. I think that really helps you not get juked out when they're trying to make a move on you, and driving your feet after you wrap up. I think those are the two biggest things.
You've had a couple of different defensive back coaches here. So you had Marvin Clesidor, who was outgoing to say the least. And now you've got EJ Henderson. Kind of talk about the contrast there.
I think they're both really great coaches, definitely different styles. I think Coach Henderson has kind of coming in with 17-ers. He's kind of taken more of a hands-off approach, whereas Coach Clesidor was much more, like you said, outgoing. Both very good coaches, both have their different ways of getting things across, but I think they've both done a great job.
Coming back in your senior year, you're one of the players that took the gap year. Last year, the Ivy League decided not to play college football. What were you doing this time last year?
So I had surgery and was recovering from that, and then after that, I just started prepping for this year and started training with my teammates.
Mechanical engineering major, you were mentioning whenever football ends. I know you've got some aspirations of playing football beyond playing in college at Princeton. Mechanical engineering major, what's sort of the career goal outside of football?
Yeah, I would definitely like to do something in design engineering for like an automotive company or a medical device company. I was at Ethicon this past summer and working with medical devices, so that was really cool. And yeah, so something in one of those two industries I think will be very interesting.
Is that what you thought you wanted to do when you got here?
The automotive side, yeah. The medical device side, no. But I can't say I'm surprised because my mom is a nurse, so I feel like I kind of have some sort of medical side to me.
Talking about, before we popped on, one of the classes you're taking this semester, Intro to Robotics, and kind of seems like there's a lot of uncertainty with what's going to happen later in the semester with that.
Yeah, definitely. So we're just getting started, but that's going to be a tough class, but I think it's really interesting trying to make a drone go through a course that you've never seen before.
Let's talk about your opponent this weekend, the Monmouth Hawks. So they're a 3-2 team, a lot of talent back on the offensive side. What's the scouting report? What should we be looking for?
Yeah, they're definitely a very good team. They got really good athletes. I think we're going to be able to put in a good game plan for them. The guys, I think if we stick to our fundamentals, that's going to be a big focus for this week. Stick to the fundamentals and run around like we always do. Full speed, I think it will be great.
DeLon Stallworth, one of the senior leaders on defense for the 3-0 Princeton Tigers. DeLon, great catching up with you.
Thank you. Thanks, Cody.
Be back after this on the First in Football podcast.
Our friends at First Bank pride themselves on being a true community bank. They know the importance of businesses to their communities. When times became tough, First Bank jumped in to help. They helped many local businesses get PPP loans when big banks couldn't come through and contributed donations to organizations dedicated to helping our communities. You want your bank to be there for you when you need it, and First Bank employees are always ready to lend a helping hand. So I encourage you to give them a call at 609-587-3111 or visit their branch in Lawrenceville, just a short drive away from Princeton's campus. First Bank is an equal opportunity lender and member FDIC.
Wrapping things up on the week 4 edition of the First in Football podcast, joined by, I guess we'll call you one of the newest members of the Princeton coaching staff. I know you've been here about a year and a half, but 3 games into your return to the Princeton coaching staff, EJ Henderson. EJ, appreciate you stopping down.
Oh, it's a pleasure, and thank you for having me, Cody.
We'll talk about Princeton football and your defensive backs as we go on. I want to go back to your return to Princeton. So you were here under Bob Sorace. You guys overlapped for a year when Coach Sorace took over. You've had a couple of stops since. You get rehired March of 2020.
Yes, I got rehired. Try to get acclimated to Princeton's life again and people around me in an environment. And then COVID hits. And after COVID hits, Coach Sorace told us we all had to go home. And unfortunately, I haven't moved from my previous residence at that time. So I had to go back home to where I just first took the job from and then sat there for a couple of months until I found a place down here.
And you were trying to do that with a family to consider.
That's correct. My family was still up in Ithaca. They have 4 kids and my wife. So they were happy to have me back home.
So you're on Coach Sorace's coaching staff. He comes in as a first-year head coach a decade ago. I have to imagine that you guys kept that relationship pretty strong because he was pretty excited when he got you back on staff.
Yes, Coach Sorace has always been a mentor for me. Every probably 6 months or so, I would reach out to him by text or so. During football season, I would not bother him, but during the off-season, during recruiting times, I would check in with him. And before the previous job I had at Cornell, before I took the job, I called him and asked him a bunch of questions. He gave me some great advice. And then and then this position came open, and he gave me a call, and it just seems like I have never left. And the relationship I've built with him over the past, and even to this day, it seems like it's been authentic, and it was awesome.
What was it like? So, yeah, they tell you to go home. You head back to Ithaca, New York, before you finally move down to Princeton. What was it like trying to build and develop those relationships with a group of players that you couldn't see in person?
It was difficult, of course. Everything, and it was like the beginning stages of Zoom, so I couldn't even, turn on Zoom and set up Zoom. But it was difficult. The players were trying to fill me out to figure out what kind of coach I was and where I was coming from. They only knew about my background, what they could see on the internet. And then I was doing the same thing. I was getting on the internet. I was checking out all the previous games and videos that we had on the Princeton website. I was trying to follow everybody as far as all the player stats and stuff and the pictures and names and faces. I was trying to get all that information together and learn as much information about the defensive backs as possible. But the guys, when I reached out to them, when I called them during that time period, they did a great job staying in contact with me or answering my phone call or got back to me just to kinder the relationship.
Got to imagine it's nice coming into a situation like that. We're just talking to one of your 7 senior defensive backs, DeLon Stallworth, and he said you really didn't have to do a lot initially because you do have those upperclassmen and those leaders in the defensive backfield. That's got to be a nice situation to walk into.
Man, I tell you, it makes my job a little bit easier. The culture that's here, and it's built on senior leadership, and there's some things that I probably didn't know or didn't know how to do, and it's kind of funny because you have your seniors who get you right. So when the seniors were like, hey, coach, it's probably not done that way. Hey, coach, we do it like this. So if they were telling me that as a coach to make sure I was doing things the right way, the way the culture is built here, They're doing the same thing with the young guys here who's already, you know, guys who are coming in and guys who were here for the last year. They did a great job just keeping everybody in contact with each other, communicating from what I had to say or Coach Sorais or whatever the football teams had to say. So it was great coming into with a lot of seniors, coming here with a lot of seniors who know how things are run and carry themselves the right way and also know how the standards that we keep here.
Looking up and down this roster, so, I mean, you got really three starting corners that are seniors. You've got DeLon Stallworth, Matthew Winston, Christian Brown on the other side. Trevor Forbes, senior captain, he's a safety. Your nickelback, Sultan Shabazz, he's a senior. Having kind of that depth in the secondary, what does that allow you to do that maybe you couldn't and Princeton couldn't 4 or 5 years ago when all of those guys were playing significant time as freshmen?
Well, I think that what it allows you to do, the communication is pretty, you know, it's pretty fast and solid. I could say one or two words and then look at the upperclassmen or seniors. They're like, okay, coach, yes, I got, and I understand what you mean. If you had a bunch of young guys, and when you have a bunch of young guys, you have to go in depth detail with certain things or certain the way you want things to be done or the coverages or the adjustments you would have. So having an upperclassman, having that many seniors, communication got done a lot faster. And also, as far as what you were trying to, the message you were trying to, you know, put out for your unit, these guys did a great job making sure the rest of the other guys understood what I was talking about and keeping the standards where they were and how they are here as defensive backs.
This past weekend, 24-7, win over Columbia. We're talking, it was 24-7, but that final score is a little bit deceiving. That was a tight game. Columbia had it within one score early on. Game that's that physical, where you've got a lot of contact, a lot of one-on-one matchups with receivers and your defensive backs, what are you telling those guys? How are you coaching in a game that's that physical?
Well, when a game's that physical and it's a close game, the thing that you want to make sure is your players can just go out and play and don't get too high and don't get too low. You don't want them to get so high or low. And keeping them calm and just keeping with the basics of what we're doing, how we're doing it. And, hey, any adjustments you see out there, this is what I'm thinking. But also just keep them informed to get ready for the next step or the next play that's it's about to happen. So when they got out there, they're not, overreacting or just being tight, but I wanted the guys to be loose. And in a situation where the game got tight, it was a tight game for a lot of the game. I just wanted my guys to just go out there and play, just continue to go play, continue to push the envelope, continue to play fast, and continue to play the calls that we have. And I wanted these guys to be loose at that time.
You're the defensive backs coach. You're also the co-defensive coordinator, along with a guy that's been here on his 36th season, Steve Verbit. Longest tenured coach on the staff at Princeton. Co-defensive coordinators, what's sort of the division of labor there and what's that dynamic like?
It's a push-pull relationship. And what I mean by that, there's a lot of experience with Coach Verbit. He knows a lot. He's been around, and football has been around in circles like 17 times, and Coach Verbit has been around that circle 17 times. So some ideas I come up with or some things I bounce, some ideas I bounce off his, and talk to him about. He's like, oh, yeah, this, that, and the other. Or maybe we should give a shot. And he's really open to adjustments and open to new ideas. So it's been a really good relationship with Coach Verbit. Like I said, there's sometimes you think you're pulling a fast one on him. Hey, Coach Verbs, we can try to do this. And he's like, oh, we did this back in such and such time. And it may work. So it's been a really good from a learning process and growing. And you talk about the workload and he allows me to learn stuff, even if I may trip and fall and may not do it right or do it the right way, so I can learn it myself, which allows me to grow. So it's been a great situation to be in, and it's great learning from Coach Verbit.
EJ Henderson, Princeton co-defensive coordinator and defensive backs coach. Appreciate you taking some time. Good luck this Saturday against Monmouth.
Thank you. Thank you for your time, Cody.
That'll do it for the Week 4 edition of the First in Football podcast. Princeton wrapping up non-league play this Saturday afternoon against Monmouth out in West Long Branch, New Jersey. The Tigers are seeking their 13th consecutive non-league victory. You can watch on ESPN+, or you can listen on the Princeton Sports Network by downloading the Varsity Network app or going to goprincetontigers.com/watch. The Tigers and the Hawks have only met one time before. It was a 51-9 Tigers win week 4 of the 2018 season. And we know how that year ended. 10-0, the undefeated Ivy League champs. Thanks to our guests Bob Sarace, senior cornerback DeLon Stallworth, and co-defensive coordinator and defensive backs coach E.J. Henderson. My name's Cody Grischel saying thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next Thursday for another edition of the First in Football podcast.